Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
You know how Sam Darnold did that thing for Thursday Night Football last week where he's like, I credit Brock Purdy.
Oh, yeah.
With me playing really well, because what Brock taught me is I'm just a distributor. I'm just a point guard.
Yeah.
My job is to get the ball into the hands of the people who can cook and let them cook and just get out the way, basically.
Does that include Jaguars who can cook? Because he was pretty good at doing that, wasn't he, on Sunday, guys?
I mean, calm down. My point is sometimes I can relate. I feel like this is one of those moments. I would like to distribute the microphones and then get out of the way. Because on the River Islands guest line right now, and by the way, also on YouTube, which is where this really goes to the next level.
Yeah, it does.
Is longtime offensive lineman with the Niners the last 2 years, and then also the controller, the voice, amongst others, of the Not Our Fault podcast, which is sweeping the nation. And the reason it's sweeping the nation is because he's not afraid now.
Nope.
He's not afraid to say it. And so I'm going to distribute the mics and get out of the way. Dibs thinks Trevor Lawrence is amazeballs, and John Feliciano thinks Brock Purdy is much better, and I'm going to get out of the way now. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, John. How are you? I missed you. A little bit of back and forth on Twitter. I've been waiting for this very moment so I can accept your formal apology over the Trevor versus Brock debate.
Listen. The dude, well, he threw 100 and something, like 70 yards or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you have four turnovers and you can score one touchdown. I mean, what is that? I mean, shit. I mean, they barely won that game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They did. And, I mean, sometimes dig and dunk is sometimes better than here you go, Jacksonville, right?
I mean, you know, it's really unfortunate that we lost that game. And you get to sit there in your high horse. Brock obviously didn't have his best game. Well, you know, one of those picks are his fault. The other one, Christian's got to catch. You know, Trevor didn't do nothing. It was all that defense, and our offense not playing well.
Yeah, and Etienne to the house on that run where, you know, the offensive line blocked it up perfectly well, and, you know, the kick return and all the rest of it. But just, you know, before we get too far down this road, I mean, what did you think of Brock? So you say that one Christian's got a catch. I thought it was an ill throw. I didn't think he needed to make the throw. But other than that, you thought Brock was probably pretty good, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, was it an ill throw? I think if Christian catches that, he scores a touchdown. And that's the SportsCenter top 10 play. And there's a lot of drops. You know, Brock's numbers would have been better if we didn't drop the ball so much. And, you know, them turnovers really, really screwed us. To have four turnovers, or three at the time, have three turnovers, 2 minutes or 3 minutes or two something left in the game and down five with the ball. I was sitting in my living room sitting pretty like, oh, yeah, we're going to go down and score. And I was going to have all my things to say to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, Brock fumbled and it wasn't even rainy out. So there's that, you know?
I mean, Eric hit his arm. I mean, what are you going to do? That's not Brock's fault. Jake's got to block Eric. You know, it was even worse that Eric did it. You know how much that meant to him. He's a good, great guy. I hate to see it, though.
Didn't we all?
Yeah.
John Feliciano is with us here, as he is every single Tuesday at 5 o'clock here on Willard and Dibs. The Not Our Fault podcast is amazing. It's fun. It's informative. You should check it out with Feliciano and his partners, offensive linemen. It's not their fault, except for I think twice in this conversation you made it their fault, John. You just said Jake's got a block. You made it Jake's fault on that fumble.
It was. I mean, you know, it happens. That was not. That's not going to be on the not our fault clip.
Okay.
That's definitely Jake's fault.
Let me ask you this though, because you know we've got listeners out here, and there's a brigade. There's a brigade that thinks that Brock now is overpaid and overrated, and all of these things. And the one thing you do hear people point to a lot, even though with a couple minutes left to go, he conducted a game-winning drive in Seattle. But when trailing in the fourth quarter, that has not been Brock's or Kyle Shanahan's, like the 49ers, that has not been their best work. Is there any light you can shed on that? What do you see in those moments?
That's unfortunate. The stats are what they are. But I'm pretty sure we were down in the fourth quarter against the Lions in the NFC Championship game.
True.
We do close out some of these games.
And the game before that against Green Bay too.
Exactly. So they'll do it when it counts.
And it may count a lot on Thursday. We can get into that in just a second. But I first want to ask you, as an offensive lineman, again, the weekly why can't they run the ball portion of the program. It just doesn't seem like they're able to even get to the second level, let alone get second level blocks.
Yeah, the guards haven't been playing up to standard. Pooney is going through a little sophomore slump right now. I'm not sure how that knee's feeling. I know he had that, I think it was a PCL, I believe, or some kind of knee injury. I don't know if he's still dealing with that. But a lot of times he does well, and then some plays are just like, that's like what a rookie would do. So I'm sure, I mean, Pooney had a great year last year. I'm sure he's going to bounce back. Connor is, he's young, and obviously he wasn't the starter for a reason. I think some of those weaknesses are starting to show up. Especially when you're playing old savvy guys like Calais and then Eric. Those guys know how to make young guys look bad. And there's just a couple times where, I mean, it's a real hard offense. And for a young guy, there's some nuances that he's just, you know, needs to catch up on. There's a few times in the run game where he was a little offbeat. And I'm actually making a clip right now because there's I forgot what Instagram freaking account I had stumbled upon that had 20 clips of blaming Jake. And I was like, listen, I get Jake gets a bad rap. But on those 20 clips that I saw, 8 of them weren't on Jake at all. So I mean, 12. So that's 12 plays in what, 2 games? That's probably 120 reps ish, maybe probably more. So if you only have 12 clips that are not great, that's winning ball.
John Feliciano with us. John, I mean, take us inside what the line needs to do to sort of tilt things back in their favor. Like for instance, Thursday night. And I don't know that this is going to be the case, but we're tracking toward Mac Jones playing, Ricky Pearsall out, Juwan Jennings out. We already know Brandon Ayuk will not be there. So you've got a backup quarterback and a patchwork group of wide receivers. And we're being told that the defenses are like, we're not scared of your passing game, so we're just going to totally take away the run game. How do the Niners get out of that so that they can start running the ball and make this a little bit more balanced?
It really just starts with everyone knowing what to do. There's countless times where, you know, a receiver doesn't get a point, or, you know, one of Connor or one of the guards or one of the other linemen just is not blocking it the way that we want. It's going to be a tough task this Thursday. I mean, you know, you think Colton's having a great season so far.
Yep.
He had many years of getting crapped on, and out of that crap grew a flower.
Yeah.
And, he needs to play a really good game, him and Trent, because their outside guys are elite. I saw Verse line up 4 yards above the center against the Colts and just run him over. And I was like, buddy, if I was that center, I would have cut his ass so fast and try to take his knee out. Like, hey, dude, like, you're not going to line up in front of me 4 yards off and just try to run through my face. It's not going to happen. I'm going to, because he is so strong and explosive. It's, I felt so bad for that center. It was not a great rep for him.
No, that's tough, because Verse is young and he looks phenomenal. And you talked about the one tackle. I wanted to ask you about Trent Williams and what you saw from this game and just overall. Is it a little bit of inconsistency, because Hines Allen was kind of giving him the business on Sunday now?
Yeah, I think Trent's going to get better throughout the season. I think he just needs a little bit more reps and time and maybe some more conditioning. It's just he's not playing terrible, but he's not playing up to Trent Williams standards, and he knows that. And I'm sure he's eager to show that he still got it, because as soon as an old guy starts playing bad, they talk about his age and all this stuff. And I know Trent is such a competitor. He's not going to let that happen.
I mean, is that not a rational thing for us to think, though, John? I mean, he is. He's you know, he's on the wrong side of 35. Like, it wouldn't be crazy to think that he's starting to slip a little bit.
100%. It's 100% logical thing. And then as a competitor, you're like, F y'all, I'm going to show you what to do.
Right.
I'm excited. I'm sure. I mean, because he's still got his speed, and you see him pulling out, and these DBs are running from him. He's still doing, you know, his stuff backside. Like, he still got game. He's just, I think he's just been a little inconsistent with his hands and his body position.
John, we want to play something for you that Kyle Shanahan said after the game. I imagine you saw the exchange afterward between Robert Saleh and Liam Cohen. Did you see this, I would imagine?
I saw the exchange. I don't know if I saw what Kyle said.
Okay, so Kyle was asked in his press availability which other coaches around the league would be able to beat up Robert Saleh, and this is what he said.
Pretty important question. What NFL coaches do you think could beat up Robert Saleh?
Just me. That's about it.
Dan Campbell.
Yeah, I probably bet on Dan over a lot of people.
Okay, so maybe Dan Campbell, and then none others except for Kyle. Who are you taking in a fight between Kyle and Bob?
I mean, Kyle's going to fight his nuts off. He's going to be biting at Saleh's legs and ankles. But I don't know. Kyle, buddy, don't do that. I saw when I saw that Jacksonville coach go after Saleh, I was like, buddy, you do not want to do that. That man is yoked, and he looks like he'll rip your freaking head off. But you know what? I got my dog, Sean McDermott. He's a wrestler.
Oh.
I mean, a little out of his weight class. I think Sean and Dan are the only two that could give a little resistance, but I like Saleh.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, Mike Vrabel, former player, not listed.
Vrabel, but
yeah,
he's, you know, Vrabel's on like you said, an ex-player. He's broke down.
Yeah, I mean, there's also the gum chewer, Pete Carroll. You got that veteran savvy now.
He's in his 70s.
he's gonna die.
Right.
Solomon might punch him to death.
Apparently, so is Liam Cohen, if you ask Robert Sala. I think that's what he said to him, actually.
Yes, I think Pete can beat Cohen.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Any active players on the Niners roster who would not be able to beat up Robert Sala?
Nick Sakil.
Oh, Nick. Oh, gosh.
That's great.
Would you be able to beat up Robert Sala?
Oh, he's going to. I'm sorry, Rob. You're going to sleep, buddy.
Okay.
Okay. I'll choke him out, though. I'm not going to hurt him. I'll just choke him out.
Yeah, that's the gentlemanly thing to do, to put somebody to sleep, right? Yeah. Well, in that vein, John, if you ever need any, expert advice on quarterbacking, you know I'm here for you.
Oh, God. Here we go. Okay, we'll see what happens in a couple weeks. Well, that guy, I'm not a big. You're still thinking he's in Clemson. He's that pretty boy in orange. Those days are long gone.
Yeah. Maybe it's the hair envy because I don't have any, John. Maybe that's what it is.
We coined the phrase on this show. We call it draftism. Brock was the last pick. Trevor was the first. And some people will not get off of that high horse no matter what they see.
Yeah, some people.
Some people.
Some bald people.
Now it's getting personal.
I work with some of them. It's crazy.
All right, John. All right.
The Not Our Fault podcast, unless, of course, sometimes it is. But usually not our fault. John Feliciano, man, you're the best. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right, guys. Hey, Bag Bunny, Levi's Stadium. Oh. I might have to come to the Super Bowl now.
Absolutely.
Might? Why is it a might? Like, that's a for sure.
I had to put my shirt on and represent.
There it is.
Yep.
I love it.
It's going to be a huge halftime show. It's going to be awesome.
All right, John.
All right, guys.
Great stuff, man. Bye. All right. John Feliciano every Tuesday right here on Willie and Dibby. I don't know. That was a draw.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got him to swear. I mean, that.
You also got a good belly laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Which is all we're trying to do on the show.
That's right. And I look forward to meeting him in person.
I know you're well aware that Trevor Lawrence is not better than Brock Purdy.
Right. But, you know, it was a good debate last week. And then when Trevor goes out and, I mean, he played better. And we did this yesterday where you could give Trevor Lawrence a C or a C minus. He really didn't do much, and he had a couple of throws that he could have made and didn't, but he didn't turn it over. So if Trevor was a C minus and Brock was a D, which is what I actually gave Brock, then Trevor wins. It's not exactly a heavyweight bout, but Trevor won that bout.
Dibs, we have more breaking news.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
Someone might need to help explain this to one to me after what we already talked about an hour and a half ago, but free agent guard Seth Curry, Steph's little brother, has agreed to a one-year deal with the Golden State Warriors. Steph and Seth will team up on the Warriors beginning with training camp tomorrow. So I don't know if he's eligible to play the first handful of games of the year or not. That was per Bobby Marks, who said that the current financial structure of things was suggesting that there was not enough money yet in order to bring in Seth. Who knows? Maybe there's pieces of the mid-level exception that got moved around. They only needed a little bit more money. I'm not sure where they found it. So we're going to get more information on this as it comes out. But as I had said, the second the JK thing came down, and if you're just joining us, Jonathan Kuminga earlier today, two-year deal, $48.5 million. It's a team option for year two. One of my first questions, does that leave enough for the 15th roster spot to go to Seth Curry? And we had said kind of yes and no, but whatever. Seth Curry is a Warrior, which I think is two things. It's additional shooting off the bench, which is great, and it's also a phenomenal story to have Seth and Steph both on the same team together. Seth Curry coming to town.
Yeah, bring back Damian Lee, and maybe Dell can lace them up one time and get ourselves a real Curry party. It just depends on what the numbers are. I'm reading from the Shams Charania article from earlier, the fact that they still have the flexibility to use the 5.7 mid-level and sign two veteran minimum players. Gary signed one of those veteran minimum contracts, and so Horford and DeAnthony Melton One of them might be veteran minimum. The other one might be in the mid-level, which would leave the rest of that mid-level for Seth Curry. So until we know exactly what all these contracts are and were, then we'll be able to see who got what, who's on veteran minimums, who's getting the mid-level, how all the pieces are going to work together. But the good news is the Warriors, it looks like, have their 15. So tomorrow,
indeed they do.
When they practice tomorrow, Wednesday, you got a game on Sunday, you're going to have all the fellas that you're going to have going forward. And that, to me, puts a bow on this offseason once and for all.
The offseason, like literally the Warriors, the whole NBA was like the Warriors, the only team that hasn't made a move. And then we got to Sunday and they made all the moves.
All the moves.
48 hours.
Yeah. Remember July 4th?
Yeah.
Like July 4th, free agency begins.
I do. I was down in Orange County and we couldn't see the fireworks because there was so little wind that the fireworks would go off and then the smoke would just stay there in the sky. So after the first three fireworks, you couldn't see anything. It was ridiculous. That's what I remember about July 4th.
And the next morning, deals are flying everywhere.
Everywhere. And the Warriors were part of none of them.
Right.
But here we are. Al Horford is a Warrior. GP2 is a Warrior. D'Anthony Melton is a Warrior. Jonathan Kuminga is a Warrior. Will Richard, second round pick, is a Warrior. And Seth Curry, Steph's little brother, is a Warrior. And there is your offseason, and it happened in 2 days.
Exactly. In literally 2 days. Yep. Where, and I know that the Horford and the D'Anthony Melton and even the GP2, those were done weeks ago, but you finally got to this point where the Kuminga, I think, contract stuff was really on the one-yard line over the last couple of days, and they finally got it done and announced today. And so now, yeah, you've got it all buttoned up and done and dusted. And over the next few days, we'll get the actual amounts for these players, and then you can look at where they are as it relates to tax penalties, which their tax penalty is going to be high again. I was reading earlier, it's about $80 million, a tax penalty. So Joe Lacob's going to just find $80 million. Not for salaries, just for taxes.
In his couch cushions.
I mean, in the Valkyries account, wherever he's going to find it. That's not the point.
Right.
The point for me is Joe Lacob is not afraid to pay luxury tax penalties if he thinks they can win.
Yeah, never has been.
Right?
Nobody questions whether or not Joe Lacob will do what's necessary to compete and win and all of that. It's why everybody kind of loves having him as an owner. Do they agree with everything that he says, does? I don't know. Is he a little overconfident with how this is all going to look when Steph Curry retires? Yeah, you could put me in that boat, but whatever. Who cares? Doesn't matter. It's all you want out of an owner. All you want out of your favorite team's owner is to know that they are focused on winning. And Joe, I feel like Joe is focused on winning everything, including the deal. And that was part of this. You know, I very much firmly believe that Joe Lacob and Mike Dunleavy, as an extension of Joe Lacob here, the number one of all the different things that came out about JK and all of the experience that we had this summer, the number one thing that they would not budge on is the idea of letting Jonathan go for nothing. And the only way that it was, and by the way, they wouldn't even do it for a bad deal. They would not do the Kings deal. They would not do the Suns deal. They were not going to let Jonathan go for the wrong price. And the only way that could happen is if Jonathan would sign the qualifying offer. They threatened it. The Warriors called the bluff. The Warriors were right. He was never going to sign that QO. It was a terrible, terrible idea. And so they played that very, very correctly,
yeah,
I believe.
I would say the agent did as well, because by waiting, they got 3.5 extra, not guaranteed. But they got to where they got a 2-year deal, 1 year with a team option that both sides are probably confident won't get exercised. And so Kuminga, instead of getting 7.9 and your freedom, you get 22.5 and you don't have the ability to say no to a trade. And you may be here for 2 years if the Warriors want to exercise that. But ultimately, they decided giving up the control was worth it. And now you look at where you are going forward and you've got 2 years of Kuminga and Butler and Curry and Draymond, if you want, as the Warriors, if it works out, you know, you got 2 more years of Curry, right? And Butler and Draymond, you could have Kuminga be right alongside of that, and you could go into the next 2 years with that as your core.
888-957-957, and we're going to circle back to your phone calls, Warrior fans. The JK deal is done, 2 years, $48.5 million deal, team option for year two, $22.5 million for year one. JK stays while both sides will both play him and continue to work on a trade that has already been well reported. And now we can add in that Seth Curry has signed on to be with the Warriors as well. Yeah, Grandy, what are the kind of stipulations
here? Last hour, you guys read from that Shams piece saying that they couldn't sign Seth Curry to the veteran minimum because they only have $2 million in cap space.
Right.
They're $2 million away from the second apron, and using the mid-level exception on Al Horford hard caps them at that second apron. So they can't spend more money than that. So how the hell did they just sign Seth Curry? What I think this is it's technically a training camp deal because they have a training camp slot open, and then what they're going to do is likely cut him before the season begins and then re-sign him once they can in November. Huh. So they're signing him to a camp deal is my read, so that he can begin and practice with the team now.
That's a good read.
That's probably a good read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will it actually be a cut him, or is there a way to kind of
I don't know if that's the correct language. I'm not sure.
But hide him somewhere. Okay.
But if his intent is to return to the Warriors anyway, then I don't think it matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And honestly, if that camp deal lasts until the first day of the regular season, that is October 22nd, I think. So you're only looking at from then about 3 weeks until you can bring him back. So you'd have him for the next 3 weeks of camp and exhibition and preseason, and then you quote-unquote cut him, and he lives on Steph's couch for 3 weeks.
Right. Like, I mean, it's a big – to me, it's interesting, but it's a big who cares. I wanted him on the team, and this confirms that he's going to be here. He might need to miss a few weeks there at the beginning of the year, whatever.
Yeah, and just add him to the list of guys who are over 30. You've got probably 8 of your 15 who are over 30, and then you've got like 5 or 6 who are under 23. So it's going to be kind of a little bit of a culture clash for this group.
Well, I mean, look, the age thing is what it is, and it is going to be a challenge to keep these guys healthy, and they're going to have to be really, really strategic about it, and they're going to need to have a little luck, too. They're going to need to have a little luck. We talked about it with the 49ers, and so far they need some luck, and they've had none, you know? So I think it's okay to admit that. You know, that's where we are. Steph Curry is 37. Is 37, 38, whatever. Like,
he's about to be 38 in March.
Steph Curry's 37 years old, but he's still Steph Curry. Like, well, you know what I mean? Something's kind of like how I feel even about the Brock deal that we were talking about earlier. What the hell is it you're going to do? What else are you going to do? Like, this is what we're doing.
Well, I mean, I absolutely agree with that, but it doesn't mean you have to go out and get a 40-year-old Al Horford
to throw him in the mix. But they've been dying for this stretch five who knows what he's doing out there. And they're trying it with Quentin Post, but Quentin also, he can knock down a three, and then there are times where he looks like a fawn running around in a meadow. Like, he doesn't.
Oh, he's young, yeah.
Yes, he doesn't know what he's doing yet, especially on defense. And so, Al, same thing, strategic, but he's just a good basketball player. It's not like he wasn't performing well for the Celtics. He can knock down a three, and he can be a professional out there. They're not going to play him 35 minutes a night. We'll see.
He played 25 minutes a night last year, so even though he's like sneaky old, he actually played quite a bit last year, especially for a guy that age.
All right, back out to the phones at 888-957-9570. Let's go to George in the jungle. Hello, George in the jungle. Watch out for the tree.
How you doing today?
What's up?
You know, I'm seeing that they signed Kuminga, and I'm seeing what's happened with Kuminga over the past couple of years. He's not really playing within the offense. You can't put him on the floor with Jimmy Butler. You can't put him on the floor with Draymond. And you definitely can't put him on the floor with GP2. So why don't we just take him and trade him now to a Western Conference team and make him their problem?
Well, because they can't. Yeah, like as of today, they've signed a deal, and therefore they cannot trade him until January. If what you're referring to, George, is why didn't they do that prior to signing this deal, they certainly explored it earlier in the summer, but as a restricted free agent, I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but you can only take back 50% on the dollar of whatever you sign. So if somebody signed him, and this is what was being offered, something in the neighborhood of $23 to $25 million, the Warriors could only take back half of that in salary on a deal, and the Warriors did not like what was being offered. And in some cases, it was going to force them to send other players off the roster too, like a Moody or a Hield, and they didn't want to do that. So The bottom line is, to maximize a trade for Jonathan, you have to do this first.
No, I get that, and I'm hoping he's gone in January.
All right.
Well,
I get it, George.
If you wanted to lay odds right now, if we had the make-believe sports book, odds on Kuminga being a Warrior after the trade deadline, I would say yes, he's still a Warrior would be plus 200, minus 150 on he gets traded.
I think that I think the odds should be higher.
For he gets traded.
That he would be traded.
Yep. Yes. Trades are hard.
They are.
It's my Mike Dunleavy right
they
there.
They are.
And
but we know there's interest.
Thank you. And trades are hard. I'm going to work on the pitch of that. But
That was Lakeham.
Sorry about that. Trades are hard, but you look
trades
at
are hard.
The players who are in that financial neighborhood, there are enough options on enough teams teams that might be interested in adding a Kuminga, like the Pelicans, the Hornets, Sacramento. They've all got players that they may want to part with in that neighborhood. So there will be more partners than there were in this offseason.
And it's not even just Kuminga. It's the finances behind it. Teams are going to be interested in this because it's not a backbreaking deal, because it has a team option. In theory, if they wanted it to be an expiring deal right away, it can be. If they want to take a longer look at Kuminga, it becomes an expiring deal after that. So you're absolutely right. I would argue that almost any team that's not in the playoff hunt is going to be highly motivated to get the win-now expensive player off their roster in exchange for Jonathan and or Jonathan's contract. That's why it was so important they keep the team option and make it a short-term deal. This is a very, very attractive contract out on the open market when you combine the money, the length of it, and the fact that Jonathan, who is an exciting athletic player, is attached to it as well. This is as tradable as they come. And so I think the Warriors will have a lot of people taking phone calls if this is where it gets in January.
And I would bet that that's where it gets. And the article said mid-January, so we don't know what that exact date is, and I guess we can find that out as time rolls on. But you do get close to that spot, and the Warriors will have had a half a season, really, because the deadline is after Game 50 in early February. So the Warriors are going to have a good 40 games to see if they can make this work with Jimmy and JK. And if it works and you're winning and everything's humming, well, you don't have to trade him. And if it's not working and it's not humming, well, then, yeah, you can now trade him and get $22.5 million worth of player coming
back.
There you go.
Yeah, like I think the real, real win here now is the fact that, sure, if everything's going hunky-dory and everybody's happy and you want to keep him, sure, you can do that. But you have finally arrived at a point where Jonathan's contract is now such that the Warriors can get someone back who will really have an impact. Like that, it wasn't the case before. The whole 50 cents on the dollar thing, restricted free agency. Sure, did you like Malik Monk, but you also had to give up either Buddy Hield or Moses Moody. It weakens your team. The Warriors are now finally in a spot where if they do trade JK, the numbers are such that it can have a positive impact on the team with who you get back.
Immediate.
That's the biggest
impact,
deal.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And there are enough guys in that neighborhood with expirings, like, you know, I talked about Marcus Smart before, a guy who his deal's expiring, and he's a interesting, feisty bench player who's a veteran who might be able to come in and help you. You've got, you know, Terry Rozier of Miami makes a little bit more, but you could throw in a sweetener. Nikola Vucevic, depending on how Al Horford survives and thrives. So there's a lot of guys who are out there who are intriguing as possible targets.
888-957-9570, the number. Greg in San Ramon. Hello, Greg. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
We're good, Greg.
Good, yeah. So I'm excited about Kuminga, but I tell you, who I'm really excited about them signing is Horford and GP2 and Melton. I mean, because defensively, Melton was strong last year before he played very little. But I just think that the big gem here and all this news is those three. Horford's going to knock down some threes, and he plays great defense. And I think you touched upon it earlier. He's better at hitting that shot consistently. He's definitely a better defender than Post. So I mean, he's old, yes, but I mean, he's still in shape. Look at him. And I think he's going to play a huge difference, and Melton too.
Greg, thanks. I mean, look, I get it almost feels like a yes or no question when you look at the Warrior offseason and whether or not you like it. And you're either going to say, yes, I like it, or you're going to say they're too old. I think both answers are totally acceptable.
It's fair.
but if you took the age off of it and you looked at the characteristics of the people that they added, Melton, as he said, is a good defender, and he can knock down a three. We loved him last year in the very short sample that we got to see him. Seth Curry, some shooting off the bench. They absolutely need that. A stretch five, give me more of that, no doubt about it. Another good defender who we know so well in GP2 is coming back. I know he's starting to decline, but that's what he does. Will Richard wants to focus on defense. They obviously like what's going on there. And then there's the Kuminga question. Like, you brought back Jonathan Kuminga. Is that athleticism what you need, or do you need to turn that contract into a different human being or set of human beings? Those things all make sense. None of that sort of satisfies the whole point of how many people have already had the 35th birthday.
Right.
But outside of that, if they were blessed with a lot of health, it makes some sense.
Well, depends on how you look at it, because Al Horford last year had a big decline in his three-point shooting percentage. D'Anthony Melton is coming off an ACL injury. GP2, his defense has dramatically declined as far as being an on-ball defender, in my opinion, and you could ask other basketball experts their opinion. Kuminga and the fit is going to be an ongoing question. You know I love Will Richard, but he's a rookie, and Steve Kerr doesn't usually play young people. So then you're left with the holdover youngsters, Pods and TJD and Gee and Quentin. And I see more questions than answers in this 15-man roster. But like you're saying, if Horford can, you know, play better than he shot it last year, and if Melton is in fact healthy and GP2 gets a little fountain of youth and Seth Curry can come in and be kind of a Buddy Hield figure off the bench and just score, yeah, they have enough intriguing pieces to where this could work.
Yeah.
But it's all... Everything's so health-related, especially when you have an old team.
I mean, are you telling me that the fortunes of teams sometimes come down to whether or not they can stay healthy?
Well, in a sport like basketball where it's not 100% injury rate, yes, when you have an old team and when the rosters are finalized, I would predict that they're going to be the oldest team in the association. Last year, I think they were fifth at the end of the year. And, you know, this year, I know everybody got a year older, but... You also added the second oldest player in the association.
No doubt. Second only
to LeBron James.
Who, by the way, started camp, hurt.
Of course, he's 41.
Yeah, exactly.
He's too old.
All right, 888-957-9570. Some more you want to weigh in, this is your last chance to do it. We're coming to you next. We're sponsored by Moderna. And if you are just getting in the car after a day of work, it's been an interesting one. Brock Purdy did not practice today. Sounds like a question mark at best. Same for Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings. Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors have come to an agreement a day ahead of the deadline. 2 years, $48.5 million. It's a team option for year two. And Steph Curry's little brother, Seth Curry, has signed on the dotted line as well and will be ready for the open of training camp tomorrow. That enough for you? Oh, Buster Posey will speak tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning as the Giants move into a new era with their manager as well. We're only 2 days into this week. Oh, we got a football game on Thursday, by the way, against the Rivals.
Yeah, busy week already.
Good Lord.
Exhausted.
All right, it's Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me tell you something. This guy is a ball player.
He cannot be that guy.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
You want to hear Steve Kerr?
I do.
You want to hear him?
Yeah. Yeah.
When we're gonna I go? Don't care.
No, well, we do.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
No, yes, I do. Yes,
well, first
I do.
Of all, I don't really care.
Well, but we do.
I'm sorry about my dog.
That's
hey,
okay.
Cut it out.
It's all right, Steve. We'll go to the phones in just a second. Kuminga's got a deal. 2 years, $48.5 million, second year is a team option. This is before that news broke. Steve Kerr said he's been through more than this.
I mean, I don't think this is that big of a deal. This is business. This is contract disputes happen all the time in sports. So, again, I'm not concerned. We expect this to get resolved soon, and once it is, I'd be more comfortable talking, you know, about the basketball end of things and all of that. I'm not going to really say much more than I've just said, because otherwise we're kind of spinning our wheels here. So as soon as we get the all the unsigned guys in our building, then I'm happy to talk about all of them.
Okay, but Steve, what about Jonathan Kuminga? No, you got to give us something on Jonathan Kuminga.
Have you talked to Jonathan much throughout this process over the last couple months?
Again, I'm going to wait till he signed, and then you can ask me same question in a couple days.
Then I'll just follow up with this, and maybe you can give me the same response. But you're watching all this, and you've lived it with him, obviously, these last few years. From your perspective, do you think he wants to be here moving forward?
Okay, again, I'm gonna talk about him after he's signed. We'll have those discussions. So, thank you. Anyone want to talk about basketball?
Nick Friedell, yeah.
I mean, fair questions, I guess. You know, fair, fair answers.
That's the way that was gonna go.
Of course, but I would say to Steve, like, I mean, this is basketball in 2025.
Yeah, it's not basketball to the extent of dribble, pass, shoot, which is all he...
Nobody in September goes to media day and they're like, so tell us which play you run when you're down five. Like, that, you know what I mean? Like,
but no coach is going to sit up there and talk about a contract that is close to being done
in
any real way.
But his question was, does Jonathan want to be here? That's not even about the contract.
Well, that's a question for Jonathan, honestly.
It is.
Yeah.
For sure.
My question would be, Steve, when you look at the money that is being thrown out for Kuminga, does it ever make you think, heck, I was born too soon?
Steve not making that much less than Jonathan.
Well, what's funny is Steve Kerr, 12-year playing career, $15,795,000.
Amazing.
This year as a head coach, $15,750,000.
That's great.
Or maybe it's 17.5.
Yeah, I think
It's 17.5.
Yes, he's going to make.
I got my own complaint.
He'll make more this year than he did
as
his
a coach
career.
Than he did in 12 years, just, including year one, where as a rookie with the Phoenix Suns, he made $100,000.
There you go.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, so now you got JK, like, you know, folding his arms. I want to make $30 million. Yeah. It's like Steve thinking, I made $100,000 as a rookie. JK, get in here and put your shoes on.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, the way it goes.
Yeah,
I get
sure
it.
Sure is. All right, let's get as many of you in as we can before the buzzer here. Kurt in Michigan. Hi, Kurt. What are you doing?
Hi, how's it going?
What's up?
I was listening earlier, and you mentioned earlier shooting big. I just wanted to say that I think that the Warriors don't need a shooting or even a mobile big. And historically, their success has come with a passing or defensive big. And instead of looking for a guy like Lauri Markkanen, I'm not saying go out and get him, or Giannis, I think players like model after Şengün or Jokic or that sort would probably be a better fit.
Okay, thanks, Kurt. So wait, Jokic. Jokic would be a better fit than Horford.
Well, I think his greater point is when you've been successful in the past, Andrew Bogut, not a shooting big, great passer.
Right.
Big body, good defender.
I don't actually dismiss the point. I would just say that the NBA, it evolves very, very quickly.
The game doesn't change.
Yeah. And I know that, you can say that they're wrong, but the Warriors have been hot after this concept for a long time. And so I think they've got a reason for wanting to put somebody out there who can stretch the floor. By the way, I don't know if anybody's put it this way. You want to know who I think would Al Horford really helps? Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
Big time.
Well, he can play with Kuminga and stretch the floor.
Stretches the floor, and you don't have to rely on Jonathan to knock down three-point shots nearly as much.
That's a fair point, yeah.
So,
and
you know, can make fun of it if you want, but I think it could really help Jonathan.
He went from 42% from three to 36 last year.
Okay, yeah.
But Boston, I think, helps him, Al Horford, the way that Golden State does, because when he's on Boston, you got to guard three other guys before you even think of Horford.
No doubt. No doubt. Jack in Oakland next up. Hi, Jack. Thanks for the call.
Of course, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Two questions for you. One, I just wanted to hear what you guys would give as a grade for the Warriors now that all the ink is dry. I kind of feel like if we did all these moves 3 months ago, then everyone would be a little happier. Like, I actually really am happy with how all these things panned out. And then also just a general cap question.
Ooh.
Kuminga, assuming that we would trade him. Is it just equal value, like $24 million, or do we sell some weird?
Yes. No, no. Now it is just a regular. Jack, thank you very much.
They can't take more than 0 pennies back.
Right, right.
Then they send out.
No, it doesn't have to be exact, but it has to be what? Within 10%, I think it is.
I believe so.
Something like that. But yeah, it's just a regular contract now.
And it can't be more because I think they're hard cap.
Right.
So.
And then as far as the grade I'd give for the offseason, always struggle with grades when we haven't seen people play yet. It's kind of like asking for a draft grade.
Yeah, it's easy.
But I feel like kind of probably a B. Like, yeah, Al is really old, but the characteristics of the players they brought in make sense. And I do give them high marks for what was a challenging situation with the way this JK thing ended.
Yeah, C plus. That's always the answer. Like, why draft grade, C plus. Because.
Why?
Because we don't know.
Well, right.
Al Horford's 40. He may play one game. GP2 may be worse than we thought.
But why would we don't know be C+?
Because honestly, I would look at it and go C+ anyway. Because what did you really do? You brought in a super old guy whose shooting's gone down. You brought back a defender who's not as good at defense. You got a guy coming off an ACL, and you brought in your star's little brother.
This
C plus.
Entire discussion on 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's do one more.
Let's do it.
Rich in Daly City. Hi, Rich.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I was thinking, you know, with the addition of all this age and a bunch of 6'3 guys again, it's kind of meh. But I hope is.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That they really define minutes and time for the young guys. You know, I want to see Pods, Moody, JK, TJD and post play. Give them second line minutes. Throw them in specific times to help them develop, build some chemistry. So 2 years from now, we're not looking at rebuilding absolutely with nothing.
Rich, totally get. I totally get it. I think you're going to be super frustrated because what you're leaving out of this is that whether you want to call them crazy or not, the Warriors, boy, the last thing they're thinking about is 2 years from now. They want to win. You might think they're crazy, but that's what this is about.
But also, Rich, you're going to get what you want because you've got an old team and Steph's not playing all 82. And I think he played 72 last year and Draymond played about the same.
But,
so
but Rich
you're
going to
get minutes, though. You're going to get minutes when you may not want minutes.
Yeah,
but
he wants it every night.
Yeah, you're not going to play. Remember last year when they came out and they played 11 guys?
Yeah.
And like they were playing slow-mo and they were playing Melton and, you know.
It was fun for like a week and a half.
Right, and then we kept asking Steve about it and he's like, you know, basically I don't have the 9 or 10 that I can trust yet. And so if you look at this roster as it sits now today on this very day, you can look at their 9 or 10 man rotation and look at it pretty ironclad. You know who's going to play.
Yeah, you do. You've got some experience there. And I'm not just joking. Like I'm not talking about the age guys. I'm talking about people like Melton and beyond. Like these, it's not going to be easy for TJD and Post and whatnot to crack the rotation every night.
And Gee and Seth
for sure.
Will Richard and you know all the rest of the guys who haven't proven it yet.
Grandy, what are you doing?
We're gonna hear a full hour of you guys.
Yeah,
makes you happy, right?
Damn right.
Sounds like a best of to me.
The JK news is what, right around 3:30?
That sounds right. We were just getting ready to talk about some
balls. Right.
Yeah, it was after Slayer at 3. So
what's the breaking news?
It's basically going to be an hour of your guys' show from 3:30 to 4:30. That's what's coming up.
It was great. It was great. I totally get it.
It was sizzling.
That's a good choice.
Yep.
All right, that's what's coming up on the game, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you. Here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Oh, I cannot wait.
Okay, tomorrow. First of all, we're still going to be reacting to this. We'll be 24 hours away from the Niners versus the Rams. Buster Posey and Zach Manassian speak at 10:30 on the Giants situation. Then Zach's going to join us on the show. And tomorrow's Greg Cosell. Nicely,
thank you.
Nicely played. All right. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, for the clown who's in the background, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
You'd be wrong.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.